I think it's so important, isn't it? I mean, as Tim was saying to us, there you are, yeah. It is knowing our place, isn't it? It's so important for us, even before I start this morning. We've got to know our place in Jesus. You know, if we know our place in Jesus, it all flows out of that, doesn't it, really? You know, and it's a wonderful place to be. For those of us who do know Jesus personally as Lord and Saviour, you know, it's wonderful, isn't it? And it's so secure. It is that rock that we talked about. Yeah. He is so much the rock. You know, in the midst of everything that we might go through in life, you know, he's the one that we can be secure in, stand on, know is purposely for us and wants us to come through that. So I'm going to be looking at a continuation of the spotlight on the Holy Spirit. And my topic this morning is the Holy Spirit in sanctification. And I want to take that from Galatians 5. So if you'd like to grab a Bible. And it's Galatians 5 and verse 16 to 24. Are we all there? Good. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then they go through the list. I'm not going to go through that list, but it's there. And it says, I warn you as I did before. I'm going on to 21. Okay. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So it's important for us to understand at the outset that you're not going to get an in-depth, if you like, explanation of sanctification. I am not a Nigel, thank God. And I thank God in the right sense, because I am who I am. And I can only preach like I preach. That's how God has used me in the past, and it's how he'll use me this morning. But I just want to open this up, if I can, and you will hear an awful lot of stuff that you will, if you've been a Christian for a while, you will know these things. But I just want to bring them afresh and sort of, if you like, open them up and say, am I doing that? Am I leaving in the good of that? Because it's so important for us. We can get into a place where it's, oh yeah, instead of us losing the immensity of it, you know, because we can get into that place where we almost just throw wonderful, marvelous things that God's done for us. Matter of fact, when in fact it is still wonderful, it is still immense, it is still a wonder to us that God would even do it in the first place. So what is sanctification? Well, I believe sanctification is life in the Spirit living for God, in holiness, love, and obedience. It's the setting apart of a life by the Holy Spirit for God. And I think that's the crux of the matter, that we have to come back to that place and understand that as we live the Christian life, we're not living it for ourselves. We're living it for God. Because of all that he's done for us, we're living a life out of gratitude, aren't we? We're living a life to say, Jesus, you've done such a wonderful thing. The least I can do is follow you and give you my whole life.
So we've been set apart. The Holy Spirit, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and shows us to God. And say, look, you are God, this is for you. Jesus' inheritance. Shows us to God. And we're now there for his use, for his purposes. So the more we live by the Spirit, if you like, the more we're being sanctified, the more we're being made holy, if we'll live our lives by the Spirit of God. I mean, it's great, isn't it? We're not on our own in this walk. We're not on our own. The Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, is with us now in amongst all that you're going through. The Holy Spirit's there saying, let's go together. I'm in you. I'll give you everything you want. I'll give you God's ability. But God calls us to be holy as he's holy. Colossians 1:10 says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I mean, wow. We have been called by God and we have the privilege of knowing him. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Hopefully you'll be getting to get excited. We have been set apart for God. We are his and we now belong to him. The Holy Spirit now sets before us a new way of living. And he must be allowed full control in our lives. This is called submission. Not a nice word these days. You mean I have to submit? Yes, you do, to God. Because you belong to him. Romans 8:9 puts it this way. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. So Peter then asks us in 2 Peter 3:11, what kind of people ought you to be? It's a good question. What kind of people ought we to be? He goes on to answer it. You ought to live holy and godly lives. Argue if you will, but argue with God, not with me. Galatians 5 helps us with that, though. How do we live that holy and godly life? Well, Galatians 5, verse 16 tells us, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Galatians 5 goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, have put to death the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So when the world and when all these things come in that are part of our sinful nature, that want to draw us away, well, we have to understand that in Christ Jesus, we've put these things to death. We have to stand against them. And then the Holy Spirit comes, bang, right, okay, let's move forward. Let's have the victory over this thing. So having been saved, we must now give ourselves to God to live his way. If you like, we have an obligation to live a life for God because of all that he's done. And if we'll make that decision to do that, which a lot of us have done, we'll be helped, empowered, and directed by the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit who can help us to live this type of life. Because we can't do it on our own. It's impossible for us to do that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, you cannot live the Christian life without the help of God through the Holy Spirit. It just won't happen. If you try to be a Christian without the knowledge of God in your life, you're on to a losing wicket. Because it'll all be about what I can do, how I can get there. Instead of, Lord God, help me. Help me to do this. Help me to go that way. You know, from the last few weeks, can we see how much we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? Have you allowed those things to begin to penetrate into your life to make your walk so much easier, if you like, because we get at that understanding of all the areas that the Holy Spirit is working in, doing in our own Christian walk. Because it is marvelous. And I hope you've had your listening ears on over the last couple of weeks. Because things should start to be changing in our lives. Each one of us here this morning who is born of the Spirit no longer belongs to themselves. We belong to God. We're His property. Peter goes on to say, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand. You know, we've talked about our Father. Well, Father wants to come and say, okay, let's go. He wants to put His hand on our lives and to move our lives as He wants to do it, so that we'll be used of Him, that we will fulfill the purposes He has for us. You see, brothers and sisters, it's no longer just about agreeing with the teaching of Scripture. You can agree to the cows come home, as they say. We must start to do what the Scriptures tell us to do. And this will require action in our lives. There must be, with the help of the Holy Spirit, application into our lives. We have to start applying things to our lives. You see, this hour, an hour and a half this morning, is not just a week filler. You don't come here to fill your week. Hopefully you come wanting to meet with God, wanting to hear what He wants to say to our lives, to help us, because it's difficult out there. You know, the world would want to trump you into the ground. Life is not easy. And anybody out there who thinks Christianity is a crutch just doesn't know what Christianity is all about. Because Christianity is so much more. Well, to live holy and obedient lives, then we need to take hold of the Scriptures. We need to ask God, speak to me. Not just this morning, you need to be doing that as well, but you need to be doing it regularly through the week. God, speak to me through your word, through others if you're meeting with others. So there is a way for us to live our lives. There is a way that's been set before us. The question we have to ask this morning is, will we choose to live that way? Will we choose to live that way? If we want to go all the way with God, then we need to live by the Spirit. If we want to partake of everything that God has for us, then we need to live by the Spirit of God. We have to be people who have learned how to walk in the Spirit. Just like a baby has to learn to walk, we have to learn to walk. We have to keep coming and keep pushing forward and keep growing in Christ, so that we begin to understand this is the voice of the Holy Spirit saying this or saying that. You know, this is the Holy Spirit leading me in this way. Just like you would lead a little child, we have to be led by God. Because we don't always know the right way forward. In our arrogance, we think we can sometimes. But if we will push ourselves onto the Holy Spirit, I believe He will begin to open up where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do, how He wants you to live your life. And if we'll do that, if we'll start following what the Holy Spirit says and does, I believe we become vessels where we show the character of God and the power of God to those people around us, because we've given our lives to God, because we belong to Him. And we have help. Galatians 5 again says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. He's the one who helps us. He's the one who helps to transform us. He's the one who helps to change us. And as we allow God to work in our lives, then it becomes visible. It becomes visible to others around us. It can be seen in our lives. We even see in our lives. And that's what it's about as well. you know, brothers and sisters, we should be seeing change. You know, a lot of us change when we first come to know Jesus. Oh, I don't swear anymore. I don't get drunk anymore. You know, I don't lose my temper anymore. Well, there's more, because you're not perfect, and neither am I. You know, we're not perfect. There's an awful lot God wants to work in our lives and change us. And it will be seen by others. But it is a progressive thing. Okay, it's an ongoing thing. It continues over time. It's like those fruits of the Spirit we talked about this morning. Love, joy, peace, patience. These things come over time. As God works in our lives, as we allow God to work in our lives, because that is also vitally important. We have to allow God to work in our lives, because he's the one who knows what to do. So we have to throw ourselves on him, don't we, and say, God, you're the one who knows what to do, what things need to change in my life. I just want to be a vessel open to you to say, God, change me. We have to trust God, hear his voice, and submit our lives to his ways. And then we'll find this life that he talks about. Life everlasting, eternal life, abundant life. All of these things God wants to give us. The Spirit of life is God living in us. And it's God living in us, and he's involved in our affairs. He's involved in our lives. He goes with us into the workplace. He goes with us when we're sat in our front room and we're talking and we're sharing things with one another. God is there with us. And he wants to lead us into a life of love, into a life of holiness. He wants to lead us into a life where there's joy. Brothers and sisters, it's joy to be a Christian. You know, we ought to be joyful. I mean, it says many times, it's been said from the front, we should be the happiest people in the world. And the truth of the matter is, it is true. But the problem is, we find it difficult to get there. Now, I want to put it to you, and you can throw it out if you like, but I'm going to throw it to you, I think it's because we allow the things of this world to come in too much. Because if you let the things of this world, the things here, start to overcome you, then you miss out on who God is, what he's done. You see, we're to seek to please God with our lives. And if we will please God, then I believe joy comes. Because we're seeking first God. We're seeking first the kingdom of God. We're not seeking the things of this world. You see, we have to be preoccupied with Jesus. We have to be preoccupied with knowing him and seeking to be conformed to his image. 2 Corinthians said, he died for all that those who live, that's us who know Jesus, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. See, Jesus is in the heavenlies this morning. He is seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father. Our God has paid the price. You see, God gives us a whole new perspective of life. And that perspective is that he frees us from pleasing ourselves and allows us to please him. I mean, wow. If we will please God, he delights in that. He delights in that. You ask any mother or father when the kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Man, that's great. Because if we'll seek to please God, we will find the joy of the Lord coming to us more and more as we focus on the Holy Spirit. Focus on him leading our lives. And if we do that, then our sinful nature, it'll be harder and harder for our sinful nature to come in and take our gaze. will try to pull us away because we're living by the Spirit. But because it's true, when it says it, I read a book recently where it said, if we conform to a broken and sick society, we will become broken and sick. So we're not to conform. And it says that also, doesn't it, in Corinthians. And it's important for us. Is it Romans or Corinthians? Anyway, don't get conformed to the world, because if you do, the pressures of the world will come in and they'll just swamp you. And also, as long as we're only concerned with our own well-being, if you like, where it's all about me, I think we're in danger of missing God's working in our lives, because it's not all about me. It's about Jesus. It's about giving our lives to Jesus, not out of a sense of you must give your life to Jesus. No, it's out of a sense of God, you've done such a marvelous thing. I want to live for you. I want to give my life to Jesus. You see, our Christian life, our actions and how we live can be summed up in one sentence. And that one sentence is, love God above all else. Love God above all else. 2 Corinthians 7 goes on to say, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness. That means growing in holiness. Why? Out of reverence for God, out of what God's done and who he is. This will require, of course, decisions and choices on our behalf. We will have to make decisions and choices. You see, God wants to touch each one of us in a personal way with his love. And he does this through the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, through his life, demonstrated the fact that practical change comes out of personal contact. We change from a personal contact with God. Started at salvation, because God personally broke into our lives. And it continues along our on our walk with God. God, yes, God wants to get personal. He wants to get into the nitty-gritty of our lives, because he wants the best for us. He wants us to change to be more like him. And for those who will love God for who he is and will obey him even when no one else is looking, God promises that he will dwell in those lives and manifest himself in mighty ways through them. I mean, that's a spur, if there's anything else, to love God and to obey him. Not read something in the Word of God and then get into an argument with him. Oh, I don't want to do that. You mean I've got to do that? You know, and God says, yes. Holy Spirit, yes, yes, you need to change there. Oh, but, you know. We really are a bit like goats, really, aren't we? Butting all over the place. You know, God doesn't want us to say, but. God wants us to say, yes, I'm ready to change. I open myself up to you to work in my life. John goes on to say, so whoever claims to live in him, which is each one of us who knows Jesus this morning, if we claim to live in him, we must walk as Jesus did. We must walk in the Spirit. We must walk in love. We must walk in obedience, in holiness. We must walk in the light and not in darkness. Because that's what the scripture says. You were once in darkness, now you're in light. And that's how we have to walk. That's just to mention a few. But we have to walk as Jesus did. You see, Christianity is meant to redefine life itself under the lordship or the ownership of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to love him with all of our heart and to live every day in his presence. Wow. Come on, brothers and sisters. What a privileged place we have. And that's where the reality of God's presence will flood our being in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's the one who leads us to live a godly life. That's why I believe Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit and keep on being filled. Because sanctification is about living for God, living his way and not ours. Surely the object of conversion, of coming to know Jesus, must be to open people to God's presence, to a life with God. That's what it's about, isn't it? When we come to know Jesus, we come to know God's presence in us. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. You know, we can now live a life with God. Remember, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And that wonderful price was Jesus. We now have a responsibility, a privilege, I'd say then, to grow in Christ. If you like, to grow up in Christ. Through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And there, living with a sense of God's presence and our hearts and minds responding to him throughout the day. Wow. God wants to speak into our lives every minute of the day if we will only open up to him and allow him to do that. John 16:13 says, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will show you the way into all truth. If you want to know how to live your life, then allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. Because that's what that's about. But the challenge for us this morning is, will we put into place the things that bring forth life? Will we make that choice? Against the glitter and the sparkle and all the razzmatazz of the world that wants to take our eyes away from Jesus. Will we make the right decisions? That's the question or the challenge that goes out this morning. Will we live our lives in the Holy Spirit? Galatians 6 helps us with that and says, the one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What is eternal life? That we know God. And we know Jesus Christ, who he sent. That's eternal life. Knowing God, day by day, hour by hour. Knowing God's life in me. Knowing God's life in me. No, still nothing's happening. Knowing God's life in me. It's important for us, brothers and sisters. I mean, it's lovely to have three Africans with us this morning, though they have been British-fied. But if you go to any country in Africa, brother, if you ever have the opportunity to do it, do it. Because, and I'm not saying that especially praise God in the way that they do, but there's nothing better for me when I do go to Africa, is I get amongst them and I think to myself, I haven't got a clue how to praise God here. You know, I'm going to make them laugh now, especially when they start getting into the... You know, because they just let it out. You know, and brothers and sisters, we've got to get to a place where we get more excited about Jesus and about God, who he is and where we are and who we are, that we begin to become more African. And if that means you have to darken your face, then fine. But okay. No, I'm not going down that route. But it's important for us. It's what's going on inside them. Yeah? What's going on inside of us? Are we getting excited? Are we happy? Are we joyful about all that Jesus has done and who God is? But we have to make decisions as we walk the Christian life. We will have to make decisions because our old nature, our sinful nature, will try and come back in. It will try and draw us aside. It will try and draw us into those things that we used to do. Wayne Jacobson says this. He says, the Christian has to decide when invited to participate in a manner of living that belonged to pre-salvation days. The believer needs to respond in himself with words like this. I regret that I cannot attend because I died recently. I died in Christ to the old way of living. And then we have to make a decision. That decision is not to do it, not to go there. I thought it was quite good when I was reading it. I thought, yes, that's true, isn't it? That we say, I'm dead. I died recently. Now, I'm not saying that you say that to anybody around. They'll just confirm to them that you are mad. But it's important for us to come with that attitude. That, hang on a minute, this is my old life. This is something that I used to do that was not helpful for me. And I've just got to stand against that. And if you'll stand against it, the Holy Spirit comes in behind that and says, right, okay, let's move on. Because that's not got the hold that it used to have. It's not got the power that it used to have. So through the Holy Spirit, we can and must give God our undivided attention. Then we will not be enticed or attracted by our old way of life or thinking. So just to lift it a little bit, because you all might feel, I just want to say, what happens when we choose to live by the Spirit? What happens when we choose to do that? Well, we will know true and right intimacy with God because we'll be walking with Him, talking with Him, allowing Him to move in our lives. We will acquire wisdom to live our lives. If you're struggling with something this morning, if you're struggling to know the way forward on something, or you're seeking to maybe get a new job or something, then get in. Let the Holy Spirit come and speak into your life that you'll be able to understand and know what His desires are. We will have the ability to keep away from evil, pride, arrogance, and perversions. It just amazes me how many people who call themselves Christians are still tied up in pornography. I cannot understand that at all. But God is working and will enable you to come and have overcome those things in our lives if we will live our lives by the Holy Spirit. He will give us the ability to live God's way. You know, if you think it's going to be hard to live God's way, well, without God, it is. But with the Holy Spirit working in our lives, then it gives us a different place altogether going forward. And just to finish off with, we will have a hope and a future that will be cemented in our lives. So the gospel, when you're speaking the gospel, when you're speaking to people about how wonderful Jesus is and all that Jesus has done in your life, and you can't help yourself talking about Jesus because we're gossiping Jesus, just like they were in the New Testament. We're gossiping Jesus because He's changed this in my life. He's done this in my life. I've seen Him working in people's lives. When we get excited, we have to know that the gospel is good news and it is effective. It is making a difference. It can and it does transform people from within. And it fills people with God's presence. You see, the church, this church, any church, grows only out of people who love God, get excited about God, enthusiastic about God, allow God to change their lives. Yay. Thank you, love. So as I finish, let's love God. Let's get personal with God, because he wants to get personal with us. Let's live by the Spirit and not by the old nature. Let's tell ourselves when we feel that the world or a situation is pulling us away from God, that I died recently. I died to my old nature. We are a people who belong to God. So let's live to please him. Because we are set apart for God. And each of us must take responsibility for pursuing God's will. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses about, oh, I can't do that. No, you can. You have to ask yourself, how much do I want it? How much do I want God's will in my life? How much do I want God to use me? But remember, we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us. This is not about, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Stirring up in you a false sort of, oh, I'm going to praise God. It's not about that. It's not about it's coming out of a vital, vibrant life with God. I know I've said it many times, but can we lose this Britishness about us? Because in the Welsh Revival, enthusiasm was one of the things that was pointed towards them. Because they got enthusiastic about what God was doing and how God was working. So let's get passionate about God. Let's get on fire for God. And out of that, living holy and obedient lives. I know that's my prayer every single day. I pray for that. God, I want to be more passionate about you. I want to know you more. I want to live in the fullness of knowing you. I'll leave you with this question. Will you come with me and get passionate about God? Because together, that helps as well. We start sparking each other off. You know, because that's what fire does. It leaps, doesn't it? Somebody gets on fire, you know. Phil gets on fire, and all of a sudden he comes along and says, "Yeah, God, oh, really? You know, so all of oh, you know, I'm on fire now. Oh, great, this is great. You know, you know, because it does. It starts to spark something in us and say, yeah, God is that big. Yeah, God is that powerful. God is that big, you know, and immense and wonderful. I'm rabbiting now. But let's love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And let's see what the Spirit wants to do in our lives and through our lives. Amen? Amen. Great.